Testing.
All attendees are in listen-only mode.
All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's virtual but still very active meeting of the Board of Public Works. It is great seeing you all on screen. But I do want to just highlight before we start the business of the day. You know, part of the reason that we are doing this virtually is because you know, we are still seeing the impacts of the winter storm that is still creating very, very dangerous conditions inside of the state of Maryland. There on last Wednesday, a week ago, we declared a state of preparedness for the state of Maryland. On Friday, we declared a state of emergency. Also requested that President Trump authorize a federal emergency declaration, which we're thankful that Maryland is one of a handful of states that actually received an emergency declaration because of the conditions and because of the extent of the storm. And I want to say that since then, that the people of our state, that we are grateful because Marylanders have heeded the warnings. Marylanders have stayed home. Marylanders have saved lives because of those decisions, and we are grateful that we're now looking at a situation that, despite having a historic storm hit us with severe implications, not just in the state of Maryland, but a storm that has hit now a good portion of the country, that we are thankful that we can report that Maryland has had no casualties and no serious injuries. And so to all the Marylanders who heeded the warnings, we just want to say thank you. As forecasted, the storm impacted the entire state. And so it demanded an all-government response. And I want to recognize all of our first responders, all of our agencies, our local partners, and folks who are just looking out for their neighbors and making sure they're protecting their communities. We've had nearly 80 personnel from our Department of Emergency Management and other state agencies that have staffed the State Emergency Operations Center. And they worked throughout the weekend. They were monitoring around the clock. These are people who left their families to make sure that our families were okay and protected. That the Department of Transportation has deployed now over 2,600 pieces of equipment and thousands of staff to plow our roads and coordinate our highway action teams. That we had teams out there that were preparing the roads before the storm came, that were clearing the roads after the storm came. And if you look at the state highways, I just want to give a special shout out to the Department of Transportation on the work they did to get those state highways cleared as quickly as they did. Our state police deployed more than 150 additional troopers to quickly respond to storm-related calls and activities. We had the National Guard that were activated, the countless law enforcement, fire, rescue, National Guard soldiers and airmen just did a tremendous job, and they worked in a very coordinated fashion. And I want to thank them as well for all their hard work and for always being ready when our state needs it. And so my final ask of Marylanders today remains the same as it was on Friday. Please use common sense and please show common courtesy. Please make sure you're looking after your neighbors. Please make sure you're still moving slowly on the roads. And please make sure that you are, ensuring that your friends and family are okay during this time. To remain updated, you can, as always, go to mdready.maryland.gov. To find out about which roads have been plowed, you can go to roads.maryland.gov. Stay active, and also and those are mechanisms for you to stay informed. And if you get yourself in a bad situation, please pull off the road as far as possible. Activate your hazards. Remain in your vehicle. And also, Marylanders should dial #77 for any roadside assistance from first responders. Again, that's #77 for any roadside assistance. And so I'd like to also thank my partners in this, the comptroller, and also the treasurer for all of all the leadership and support throughout this time as well. Madam Comptroller, I know you have a welcome new face that you wanted to talk about as well. So I turn over to you.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Governor. And I echo all of your sentiments. Thank you to all of the crews who are helping the people dig out and get out and be safe around the state. I just wanted, even though we're virtual, for our first all virtual meeting of the term, I also wanted to introduce, we have a a great new BPW Board of Public Works director, Michelle Lambert, who has joined us in the office of the comptroller. So pleased to have her as our Board of Public Works director and Tom Brennan as our Board of Public Works liaison, and just feel really grateful for a fantastic team to help make sure that we can be an independent voice reviewing contracts and expenditures for the state. So thank you so much, and look forward to the work of the day.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. And with that, we'll get started with the business of the day. Secretary Gonsham, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, and good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 16 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and one report of emergency procurement contract award. I'm happy to assist with answering any questions.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary. Is there any discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
Governor, may I? I'm not sure where the raise hand button on this, so you guys got to bear with the old guy trying to figure this stuff out. I just want to, on item 14 and 15, the Morgan State University demolition project, I just want to tip my hat to the university. I saw their MBE goal for the four different phases, but they're going to roughly average 40%, and I think that's a phenomenal showing. And just as I can complain or criticize when folks may not, you know, get the number we want, I certainly want to tip my hat and congratulate when they far exceed what we expect. So congratulations to Morgan.
Hear, hear. It really is an extraordinary goal and setup. So thank you. May I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the Secretary's agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. We'll proceed with the Department of Natural Resources. Secretary Kurtz, it's great to see you. It's great to see you back, my friend. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you all. I'm getting a little bit of sleep, so bear with me. I apologize if I, you know, mess this up. But it's good to see you, Mr. Governor, Mr. Treasurer, and Madam Comptroller. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. And the department has 14 items on our agenda for your consideration today, and I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda?
Not from me today. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary.
Great. May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Secretary. And by the way, Ms. Secretary, your team did a great job while you were on maternity leave. So please give them our thanks as well.
I will. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Congratulations again. We'll now go to the University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey representing University System of Maryland. There are 7 items for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Is there any discussion on the USM agenda?
No discussion right now. Thanks for all the comments, including those on sustainability. Appreciate it.
Good, sir. Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mr. Hickey.
Thank you.
We'll go on to the MDOT agenda. Mr. Domsky, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomsky, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 15 items for your consideration. We are seeking approval of one award to a duly certified minority business enterprise and small business totaling $888,000 and 5 awards to certified small businesses totaling $3 million. We have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
That is great. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the MDOT agenda?
No. I don't know if we've been together since the AB connector opened. Maybe we have and I missed it, but congratulations to MAA. Really exciting.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great day. Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Adamski.
Thank you.
And we'll conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Chaudhry, is he on?
I'm here, sir.
Oh, great. As we turn over to you, I also just want to say thank you to you, Ms. Secretary. You and the team of DGS have just done a remarkable job throughout this storm and getting all our complexes cleared out. So really well done, and please extend our thanks to the team as well.
We'll do, sir. Thank you. Our team worked very hard over the weekend, and we're still working. We're still clearing, still de-icing. It's a bit of a challenge, but thank you for the recognition for that, sir. Team works very, very hard on that. And our Capitol Police as well, working throughout the storm, keeping everyone safe.
I'll say I hope that Mother Nature can provide an assist relatively soon, and because it's so cold. The only way to clear now is just manual. So I wish Mother Nature would be a little bit more helpful right now.
I hope so. I had a tough time banging on that ice around the complex, and it's tough. It's tough to get through. So thank you, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm Keith Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 52 items on our agenda, including one report of an expedited procurement. We are withdrawing one item today. That's item 28 CGL. Our agenda does feature 29 capital grants and loans, totaling over $14.1 million. Just want to highlight one in particular, and that is item 1 CGL, which is a grant of $160,000 to the Board of Directors of Anne Arundel County Food Bank for the purchase of a new 20-foot refrigerated truck for food distribution, as well as planning and site preparation for the construction of a new facility there. As we continue to keep an eye on minority business participation goals, our agenda does feature 5 contract actions to certified minority businesses totaling more than $28.2 million. And we have 18 contract actions to certified small businesses totaling more than $36.7 million. And we have 8 representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary. And I understand we have a few speaker requests this morning, and in the interest of time, we'll just ask that our speakers will limit their comments to 3 minutes. Secretary Gontram, you can serve as timekeeper or the person who just pushed the mute button if people go over. Our first speaker request is for item 20, which is a request to award $370,000 capital grant to Maryland Turkish American Inhabitants, Inc., for essential upgrades to enhance safety and improve classroom spaces for their preschool education center over in Howard County. To speak to this, I'd like to recognize Dr. Fevzi Sorak, who joins us virtually to speak in support of this item. Dr. Sorak, great to see you.
Yeah. Good morning, Governor Moore, Controller Learman, Treasurer Davis, and distinguished members of Public Works. My name is Fevzi Sorak, and I am the Executive Director of MART. MART is a community-based nonprofit serving families in Maryland through educational, cultural, and civic programs. Education has always been central to our mission. We are excited about this opportunity and fully prepared to move forward immediately about our preschool education center. We already applied, completed the DBA registration. The preschool will operate as the name of Sunrise Academy. We have moved well beyond the planning stage. An architect has completed the initial drawings. We are in contact with a licensed contractor, and we have begun selecting age-appropriate furniture and learning materials. The LBI funding will be used responsibly for acquisition, planning, construction, and essential furniture, allowing us to deliver a high-quality and sustainable project. In short, we are ready, the planning is complete, the partnership are in place, and the community need is clear. We are respectfully asked for your support to move this project forward for county families. Thanks for your time and leadership. We would be honored to serve our county through this initiative.
Wonderful, and Great work, and thank you so much for your testimony, Dr. Sarach.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next we'll have a speaker request for item 21, which is a request to award a $14,000 capital grant to the Frederick Women's Civic Club for rehabilitation and monetization of the historic Steiner House over in Frederick County. I would like to now recognize Jean Pym, who joins us virtually to speak on behalf of this item. Ms. Pym, good morning.
Governor, I'm not seeing Ms. Pym online at the moment.
Was she not online?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So maybe we'll continue on and see if she logs on. I'd like to personally like to highlight two more capital grants on today's agenda as well. Item three is a request to award a $100,000 capital grant for the rehabilitation of the historic building at 1103 North Washington Street in Baltimore. This building will be used to create a workforce development academy and provide training and placement for 425 residents each year. The academy is going to focus on training in the field of artificial intelligence and materials manufacturing, and so we're excited to see this development. I'd also like to highlight item 9, which is a request to award a $8 million capital grant to the Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center for essential renovations to the John R. Burton Pavilion. The Bayview Medical Center is a vital anchor over in Southwest Baltimore, and it is, importantly, the state's only adult burn center. And 20% of those served by the center are low-income, uninsured, and Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries, which, by the way, is the highest percentage in the entire state. This grant is going to allow the center to renovate the Burton Pavilion and create 24 new private rooms, which gives a chance to better serve the needs and the care and the safety for all the patients. And lastly, I'd like to highlight item 48, which is a request from the Department of Education to award $95.3 million contract to NCS Pearson for design and support services statewide for the Maryland Comprehensive Assessment Program. To speak about this, I would like to invite Dr. Carrie Wright, State Superintendent of Schools, who can share more about this investment. Dr. Wright, are you on?
Now, wait. Can you hear me?
We hear you, Dr. Wright. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm a little new at this one. Good morning, Governor. Good morning, Madam Comptroller, and good morning, Mr. Treasurer. In February 2024, as State Superintendent, I announced the formation of a task force to examine Maryland's accountability and assessment systems. The task force brought together stakeholders from across the state with the aim of increasing transparency and accountability around these systems by strengthening the connections between school ratings and student achievement. The task force had its opening meeting on May 2nd, 2024, and submitted a final report with recommendations to the State Board of Education in December of 24. One recommendation was the need to update the current statewide assessments and have a consistent, uniform design for all grade level and content area tests. This recommendation was also well-timed in that the current assessment vendors' contracts are expiring in December of 26. MSTE is seeking to move to a new state assessment program to accomplish the following goals: improve technical quality and validity by adopting assessments that meet current psychometric standards, including the transition to multi-stage adaptive testing to better measure student performance across the full range of achievement. 2, increase equity and accessibility through enhanced accommodation delivery, ensuring more consistent, timely and appropriate access for students with disabilities and our multilingual learners. 3, enhance the instructional usefulness by incorporating an optional interim assessment program that provides educators with actionable data to inform instruction throughout the school year. 4, expand and strengthen assessment content by augmenting the existing MSTE item bank to ensure an adequate number of questions at all difficulty levels, allowing for greater flexibility and an increased number of released items. And 4, to improve the efficiency and coherence by consolidating multiple vendors into an integrated assessment platform, reducing complexity and improving system alignment. MSPE's program and procurement teams have worked hard to solicit a comprehensive RFP to consolidate multiple contracts to create a streamlined solution that will meet the needs of our program and bring operational and fiscal efficiencies once the contract is fully operational in the upcoming school year. I appreciate the opportunity to present this contract to the board and request that you approve the contract to NCS Pearson. And I stand ready, as does my team, to answer any of your questions.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wright. And are there any questions from either the comptroller or the treasurer? Great. Dr. Wright, I just want to take a moment to say thank you for the outstanding work that you and your team at MSD are doing. I was just going over some data, and we have seen a 987% increase in youth apprenticeships in Maryland. That increased from 127 in 2021 to 1,380 in 2025. Over the past year, we've seen an increase in graduation rates for African-American students, students with disabilities, students of economically disadvantaged backgrounds. Under your tenure, we have been able to cut the teacher shortage by half in the state of Maryland, and reading and math scores are up in nearly every grade in the state of Maryland. So I just want to thank you for the work, the continued focus, and the continued results that you and your team are continuing to drive in Maryland's public education system.
Thank you, Governor. That's very kind. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Are there any other questions or items to discuss on the DGS agenda, Madam Comptroller?
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Dr. Wright, if you don't mind, I did just want to highlight some of the work from item 41 as well, which is the contract modification for the kindergarten readiness assessment. Is that okay if you stick around for a minute?
Yes, absolutely. And I've got Krishna Tawar on the call as well as Tim Guy from assessment, so either of those folks can take the question too.
Thanks. And first, I just want to say I had a very helpful conversation with both of them earlier, but I thought, if a member of the public was looking at this, as a former disability rights attorney, it certainly struck my eyes that we were modifying this assessment to include assessments developed specifically for students who are deaf, hard of hearing, and blind and visually impaired. Sort of upon first glance, you would think, well, why didn't we do that to begin with, which was my question. And of course, you all, you clarified the need to do even more, that you did include this originally, but you were proactive in making sure that you reached out to the School for the Deaf and Maryland School for the Blind. So would one of you like to talk a little bit about how the accessibility requirements were addressed in the original RFP and the proactive work you then did after that was released with your partners at those schools to make sure that all of our students have access to this test and assessment?
Sure. Krishna, I'll either let you or Tim respond to that.
Absolutely. Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, Krishna Tawar for MSDE. As we discussed in our briefing, Madam Comptroller, and follow-up conversations with your team, when the contract was originally released, and this was an expedited procurement that the Board of Public Work approved for us to begin solicitation in April of 2024, the contract language included the accessibility provisions and the vendor provided the software with minimum accessibility requirements that the department was looking for fulfillment in the contract. As the implementation of the system began, Mr. Guy and his team began field testing and stakeholder engagements with the Maryland School for the Deaf and Maryland School for Blind. Those conversations led us in a path where we agreed that we needed to do more in addressing the feedbacks and suggestions they brought. That is the reason why Mr. Guy, our procurement team, our attorneys engaged in this contract modification that we are bringing forward for you. And Tim, if your microphone is on and if there is anything here you would like to add, please go ahead.
Thanks. I think that you can hear me. Yes.
Yes.
So, I think that we, like Christian said, the overall accommodation delivery was met by the original contract. But I think that the missing provisions here are that we're working with kindergarten students, and so their actual ability to interact with like a Braille, refreshable Braille display, for instance, is not quite developed yet. Their ability to for our deaf and hard and hearing impaired students, there was accommodations in the previous KRA that excluded test items, and we had kind of carried over that kind of approach into the new system. And working with our stakeholders, we really wanted to make sure that we are getting a valid assessment result from that student group and to improve the actual delivery of accommodations over previous setups. So that's where we're headed, and I think we're in a good place.
That's great. Thank you for that.
I'm so sorry, Madam Counselor. Mr. Guy, could you just really briefly introduce yourself for the record, please?
Oh, sorry. Tim Guy, Assistant State Superintendent of Accountability and Assessment.
Thank you. I think that context is really helpful, and I would just want to say that, you know, I'm genuinely proud that this contract will now not only serve our students who are deaf or hard of hearing, and our students who are blind or have low vision, but will actually reflect one of the strongest accessibility standards in the country for kindergarten screening. And so, you know, we're the home of the National Federation of the Blind, and so it's certainly fitting that we are putting forward, you know, these best practices. So, you know, thank you for being proactive in field testing. You know, hopefully we can do that for you next time, but this is so great. I'm really excited about it, and thank you, Mr. Governor, for letting me chat with them.
Of course, thank you so much. Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the DGS agenda? May I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
Outstanding. Is there a second?
Second.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Governor?
Yes.
I didn't know, are you about to conclude or was there other business? Because I wanted
to make a quick comment. I'm about to turn it back over to you.
Thank you, sir. I bring this up because I felt it was somewhat timely when we were doing capital grants and loans. I've been hearing from some members of the General Assembly, and I think maybe the three of us, or I don't think it's your problem, Secretary Chaudhry, but I think there's some sort of interpretation problem that we're getting from one of our assistant attorney generals, and projects are being held up that I know the various communities throughout the state of Maryland depend on. Our processes in general can slow it down, at least from the time they think it's going to happen, but it certainly shouldn't be backed up the way it is over an interpretation. So I wanted to bring that up in this form to say that I think we need to get together and get that matter resolved. I know you and the comptroller and myself, we want to see everybody that's entitled to the resources and the funding, they get it, and they get it in a timely fashion. Like I said, I think it's just an interpretation issue on behalf of one of our assistant attorney generals. But whatever the case may be, we need to get that moving. And I welcome any insight or input, you know, at a later time that you all can give me that we can, you know, get this up and running.
I appreciate that, Mr. Treasurer. I read the letter this week from the Assistant AEG, and I think that we should probably bring this up with the Attorney General and get further guidance, and then also decide if we can move forward sort of regardless of the interpretation, and if there needs to be language with the capital budget bill this year or the VRFA. To clarify going forward what the law is. So I think I really appreciate you bringing that up. It's really concerning to me. This is, you know, this is one interpretation. There are probably other interpretations. So bringing this to central AG, I think, probably makes sense. But I'm open to other ideas, of course, and happy to work with you all so that we can get this resolved. You know, these are organizations we should remember that are seeking reimbursement, so they are out these funds right now and are really hurting and could cause severe fiscal distress for some of them if they can't get this money quickly. So I think this is a quite an urgent issue. I had planned to raise it with the AG today when I see him, and but open to other ideas as well.
I concur both of you, and actually I was thinking that the proper next step is probably going to the AG on it as well. So I think that's great, and we can find some time to follow up afterwards as well after the other conversation.
Thank you. And like I said, I didn't mean that, you know, I know this isn't necessarily the appropriate time, but I know a lot of people count on us for that, and yep. I wanted to put that out there that we are working on it.
No, and it is important, and this is the right form, because you're right. I mean, we all have heard from organizations who are literally having to look at things like bridge loans because of structural challenges and not because of any other reason. So, and that's, it's unnecessary. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I'm glad you raised it.
Yeah. And Madam Comptroller, before we close, I know you have an important reminder for everybody.
Sure, yes. Important, maybe not welcome. we are, it's not spring training yet, unfortunately. Instead, first we have the start of the 2026 tax return filing season. So just a shout out to, you know, our 1,300 team members, the Office of the Comptroller. We are prepared to provide, you know, service for our taxpayers and build upon last year's success, during which we processed roughly 3 million returns and issued nearly 3 billion in refunds to over 2 million taxpayers. So some big numbers there. So during tax season, officially opened this Monday. The IRS sets the date. We, during our first couple weeks of the tax season, we test our fraud detection models and other systems to ensure efficient and accurate returns processing, so that ultimately Marylanders receive their correct refunds. So to avoid potential delays in processing or receiving refunds, I continue to encourage Marylanders to try to file their returns electronically. Last year, we averaged fewer than 3 days to process electronically filed returns once we were up and running, compared to nearly 17 days for paper returns. And of course, if you file your paper return at the very end, you can come see the huge stack of mail in our mailroom. We have people opening it, which takes weeks. So just really appreciate the work. This is our last, fingers crossed, our last tax season with our old COBOL-based mainframe system, tax return system, processing system. We are moving later this year into a new modern system, and we're excited about that. And just want to say thank you to everybody for their patience, their work, and for pitching in to do their part to help build communities that are more equitable, more resilient, and more prosperous. Thanks, Governor.
Great. Thank you so much, Madam Comptroller. Thank you.
Governor, when the Comptroller gets a chance, can you or she, one, explain to me what a refund is? I don't think I've ever had one. I'd like one.
Yeah. It is interesting when people come up to me at events and say, oh, I just sent you a check. And I'm like, not to me. I don't keep that. That's for our schools and for our roads, and, you know. Or when they say, you just sent me a check, and I'm like, oh, great, I'm glad we sent you a check.
You've never sent me a check.
I'm sorry. It's nothing personal, Mr. Treasurer. It's nothing personal.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. The next meeting will hopefully be a warmer February 18th. So with that, meeting adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Off the record at 10:35.